A warmer friendly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eatsius, and now a part of the Beast and Family podcast. And we got a great podcast for you guys. In the second segment, we're going to be joined by Ben Wilson. You're always able to catch him on the weekends with the VSiN Bet Center. He's going to be mixing and matching these next few weeks with regards to some of the shows that he's going to be on. Does an absolutely terrific job when it comes to his play-by-play work, as you're able to often find him doing UNLV play-by-play broadcasts. So we're going to be asking him just about what we can expect in general from the rest of the college basketball season, how he's been handicapping some of these postponements, and just what he's going to be doing with regards to handicapping in college basketball on a little bit more of a dead week, trying to balance being able to have some quality time with family, friends, what have you, while still being able to get your work done as well. I think that that's actually something very important to be able to talk about. It's something that is always a good topic when it comes to this time of year, because you don't want to be completely neglecting your bets, and at the same time, friends and family always do deserve a lot of time. You always have to give a phone call to mom and dad if you, like me, wind up living in a different state than your parents. So I do think that that's actually a very good topic to be talking about. And then in the final segment, we've got one game on the betting board for this college basketball Monday. It's technically bank shots still, because you get one side, one total. So hey, for all of you guys wondering what my favorite side and my favorite total is, I'm able to tell you that today. So it's a one in a million sort of situation there, but we do have a little bit of a lighter board today. Tomorrow it's going to be hopefully better, because we are seeing some postponements and cancellations, which really does stink, but looks like we're going to get a better card on Tuesday. So if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able for these in. First one is my Twitter timeline at JRNSquirty1. Keep in mind, letters CM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get in too many questions. I know that many of you guys are right now with friends and family, and well, I do think that something that I did wind up having pop up as well, now that I do think about it, is just how I wind up managing my days when it comes to things that are very, very bare. Like yesterday in college basketball, we had no games. Really, over the last 3 days, we've had a combined 2 games. We were supposed to get 4, but 2 of those games in the Hawaii Diamondback Classic, those wound up getting canceled due to the very, very bad situation that is COVID-19. So that was a big, giant bummer. And I do think that it is important to always keep yourself a little bit engaged when it comes to college basketball. And obviously, I'll be talking to Ben about this a little bit more. I never really take a full day off, even if it's just for like an hour or so, taking a look at some advanced analytics, trying to unearth something that maybe I had been asleep at the wheel on a little bit. Because what I've been noticing with doing some of my research when it comes to doing a little bit of a nitty-gritty dive into some of these stats is that when you do wind up having one dominant shot blocker, like a team like Arizona has with Christian Coloco, you wind up having one of these situations with Auburn, Walker Kessler, number 3 in all of college basketball with regards to blocks per game, that these guys actually do make a very big impact. And a lot of these teams that they do have that guy that's giving you 3+ blocks per game, they have been very profitable against the spread. And I wound up actually diving into that on the Greg Peterson Experience, which you're able to catch every Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 4 a.m. Eastern Time. If you're out here on the West Coast, that is 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Friday and Saturday, bleeding into Saturday and Sunday. But that's a lot of what I wind up doing right now. I obviously wound up making sure to give my parents a video call on Christmas. I mean, as I'm recording this right now, I'm getting set to have dinner with my fiance's parents, having a nice little shrimp ring, have some good prime rib. We wound up having prime rib yesterday as well. I love prime rib, so trust me, I'm all signed up for that. But I do think that it is important to spend time with friends and family. And at the same time, I'm always one of those people that I want to be putting in a little bit of work, because when you wind up putting in a little bit of work, it's one of those things where when you wind up taking a vacation, the worst day is that first day back. You just feel completely slammed. And by doing that, I feel a little bit more refreshed. So I never take a true day off. But at the same time, I try to load manage myself, to use a little bit of a basketball term, on some of these days, rather than going like dawn until dusk. I am certainly going to be trying to give myself a little bit more time to breathe, take a little bit of a longer jog, do things like this to be able to keep myself fresh, but at the same time saying it for when things wind up getting back to normal, I won't have necessarily so much of that first day slog. That's just the way that I wind up operating, and I always love being able to give you guys content as well. They always say that when you do something that you love, you don't work a single day in your life, and I feel like it's that way with me with covering sports and mainly college basketball. So hopefully that gave you guys a little bit of a nice pep talk and some motivation. And coming up next, we're going to be discussing this a little bit more with Ben Wilson, does a great job with VSiN. Also going to be talking with him just about what we could expect with regards to the rest of the season, how he's taking a look at these teams that are on COVID positives as well. So that's going to be on the other side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Pearson, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And we're back to MLB Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts, and we've got on a great guest as Ben Wilson does a wide variety of different things. You're able to catch his play-by-play work all across the country. I know that he's been doing a lot with the UNLV running Rebels this season. If it's a sport being played out here on the West Coast, he is probably covering it. He also does a terrific job when it comes to VSiN's Bet Center over the weekends as well. As we do have Ben Wilson joining me on the podcast. Be able to find him on Twitter. That is at Ben_Wilson_1. And Ben, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thank you as always, Greg. I'm back here in our mutual home state of Wisconsin. I've had a great little Christmas here with the family. So looking forward to being back in Vegas. So I have to say I'm pretty soft now that I do not live here anymore. 20 degrees. I can only handle for so long. So I'm excited to get back into the college basketball grind. Hopefully we get through this latest kind of wave here of cancellations and everything, because I've had some really good games I was supposed to call called off. Hoping we kind of get rolling here to conference season. And it's certainly that exciting time of the year here as we come up on the new year.
It certainly has been a little bit tough to see all these games wind up getting canceled. But with that said, once it winds up getting the conference play, I'm sure that teams are going to be doing as much as humanly possible to get these games in, because we've seen the NFL change their protocol a little bit. I know that the NHL had a little bit of a pause themselves last week. So we're going to be seeing what they wind up doing moving forward. And when it comes to college basketball, obviously, the conference games are bigger than the non-conference games, but when it comes to betting on these games with regards to openers, overnight, what have you, I actually feel like you've got a little bit more protection than, say, the NBA, the NFL, because as we know, if you're betting the NFL, that game is probably going to get played unless if, like, an asteroid winds up striking the stadium or something like that. You're going to be getting all your NFL games, whereas with college basketball, we have seen a lot of postponements and cancellations, so even though it is a little bit of a roll of the dice as to who you're going to be having out there, at the very least, you've got some protection if there winds up being a COVID outbreak.
You make a lot of good points on that part of it. And I think the thing I'm really interested to see, and as we get into now the conference slate, is for some of these teams that had to go through the shutdown and they've been on pause, kind of like what we saw last year, the handicapping element to me that's really interesting, especially at the start of conference season, is how will some of these teams, particularly the teams that were off to really good starts, that had to go on a pause, who had multiple games canceled, who, you know, they had to kind of quarantine over this holiday period. How do they come out and can they keep their momentum that they had early on? Like, the first team that jumps off the page to me with this, Greg, is Colorado State, because that's a team who had to go into pretty much a full shutdown for a couple of weeks. They had their conference opener in the Mountain West canceled against New Mexico, so they won't play until after the new year. And arguably, as you know, I mean, one of the hottest teams in the country with what Nico Medved had done there, rolling through their non-con slate, a couple of really impressive wins, undefeated, probably going to play themselves into a top 8 seed. it reminds me a little bit of what St. Louis was at this time last year. Remember, they were undefeated before their shutdown with COVID, were ranked 22nd in the country, were probably going to be a pretty solid tournament team, and really just never recovered after the new year once they came out of it. Had, I think it was, what, the first four conference games postponed. Certainly, and I think you and I are both hoping that it is a completely different type of conference season this year for these teams compared to last year. But that's just like one of the comparisons I can't help but think about just going through this. And, you know, you certainly hope for a team like Colorado State with so much upside, like they will be able to find that form. But I am curious, like once we see them retake the court, what will it look like the first couple of games? Those are going to be interesting lines too to see, because that has to be certainly baked in a little bit. But how much do you also factor in as a handicapper of teams trying to refine their form and get conditioning back up to 100% and kind of getting a full rhythm? I think that is the biggest question that we'll have to watch. And I'd be kind of looking at some of these teams who are off to really good starts, maybe had a couple games paused, not necessarily look to just blindly fade them in their first games back, but more just pay attention to how they look on the floor early and see if maybe that gives you some opportunities to bet on, at least in these early phase here of our conference season.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to see what winds up happening once we wind up getting into conference play, because as we know, with a lot of these cancellations and postponements as well, we've seen a lot of teams that they haven't played in like 2 to 3 weeks, but I feel like it's going to be a little bit different with these teams coming back rather than last season, because with a lot of these cancellations and postponements, they took place at times in which teams just aren't playing a lot of college basketball anyway. Typically, when you wind up having finals week and then you wind up having Christmas break as well, you're only getting in 1 to 2 games. So these teams are going to be coming back off of some of these pauses. I feel like they're not going to be hurt as much as what wound up happening last season. Not sure your thoughts on this, but I actually feel like a lot of these postponements / cancellations, as long as they wind up slowing down, actually happened at relatively the best time that you could hope for when it comes to college basketball, if you are going to have it happen.
Yeah, and look, I'm definitely more cautiously optimistic than like at this time last year, just as far as the impact, like to your point, on those teams coming back. And maybe it isn't the worst thing. You know, I think an example too of this, like one of the last games I was supposed to call that was next was the St. Louis versus Drake game here in Las Vegas, where you and I both are. I definitely think that with these Stabs having already been through this once from last year, there's not as much stress and, you know, there's not as much apprehension too about wondering maybe about, you know, the ramifications of a cancellation, especially for a non-con kind of single event type game, like in a tournament setting, like in a Las Vegas. I definitely think these coaching staffs are more into the mindset of, all right, it's really not the end of the world. Gives our guys a chance to kind of stay healthy and maybe not have to travel as much across the country like we were doing last year. So I think there is an element to it, especially when it's in the non-conference portion, that I don't think the coaches are really complaining, to be honest, about a lot of those cancellations, because we've heard coaches in the past kind of lament how long the season is, how you feel pressured to play just such a high volume of non-con games. And especially if you're at, you know, Drake or a St. Louis, I mean, there was a reason why they scheduled that game in the first place, because they assumed they would be on the bubble and they wanted, you know, try to fit in an extra game, get a marquee win against a fellow mid-major team they were going to be facing. So to me, those are definitely positive. Obviously, you don't want to cancel any game, but I would have to imagine, just from talking to some of these programs, the mentality of coaches, that it's really not as much of an end-of-the-world type scenario that maybe they felt like it was last year. It's a different conversation when you start talking about conference play cancellations, postponements, because it just kind of, it makes everything more muddled and try to figure it out from the conference perspective. But certainly with the non-con, I think there is less of an emphasis on just the need to play all those games, especially when you see what we went through, you know, a year ago. And I definitely get the sense from the programs I've talked to and the teams I've called so far, Greg, that they're kind of just like, look, we're gonna get the games in, we're gonna get in the non-con, and we're just gonna focus on conference season. So I definitely get the sense that there's a better kind of mental framework here for the games that actually matter for a lot of these teams.
I totally agree with you. I do think that when it comes to conference play, things are gonna be ratcheting up. You've obviously got the fans that they certainly get out there a little bit more when it comes to conference games as well, and I feel like you share in that sentiment, because like I mentioned at the top, you do a great job when it comes to calling a lot of these UNLV games. You just go all across the West Coast covering a lot of games when it comes to college basketball, baseball, what have you. And just from your experience in covering a lot of these games, do you feel the same way that I do, in that there's just a little bit of added juice when you have like a UNLV versus Nevada game versus like UNLV versus Hartford, for instance?
Oh, no question. Yeah, obviously the rivalry games, it does go up another notch. I think you can add to that too the fact that this is the first year back with the fans. I mean, I was doing a game earlier this year. It was like UNLV Cal, like one of the first games of the season, and there were only, you know, 5,000-6,000 fans, and nowhere near close to what you would expect for like a Nevada, you know, like a big rivalry game in the Mountain West. And yet still just for me, getting so used to it, I think for the players and coaches admitted this as much afterwards, you get so used to it, those games last year in empty arenas, just no juice, no atmosphere. And 5,000, I mean, it might as well have felt like 50,000. Like, it was just an incredible atmosphere, even with that at a point where you're filling an arena less to a third of its capacity. So I definitely think it certainly helped the non-con feel a little bit less stale for a lot of these guys when you just compared it to last year. And it also will kind of help ease into just that sense of comfortability and being used to it again now that you get the bigger crowds and go into the conference slate, which I mean, I'm really excited about. Some of these Vegas, these neutral site events have had really, really good turnout. I mean, obviously the biggest one, at least from what I attended, I wasn't obviously calling this game, but like going to Gonzaga UCLA, you know, incredible turnout at T-Mobile. And I think you're going to start seeing that more and more as you get into conference games for sure. So it just, you know, I think as long as we're able to kind of weather this current storm we're in, should set up nicely. Because as you point out with the timing, I mean, as we're recording this, end of December, we've still got three and a half months to Selection Sunday. I do think it will work itself out. I haven't had any more games canceled, at least in my conference slate. You know, as of now, we're kind of standing pat and hoping that things, you know, stay what you would envision it as far as the conference season. But there's definitely something to that, though, that it has been an adjustment period for these guys and that the added juice, I think, overall helps. But there were some adjustments that had to be made, certainly just, you know, in the early part of the year this year for a lot of the players and coaches, too, you could argue as well.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I do think that there has been just a lot that has been different these last few years, because obviously from the 2019-20 to the 2020-21 season, so pretty much pre-COVID to post, there were some big changes there. And now I feel like we're sort of in transition a little bit as well with fans back in the stands, but you still have some protocols in play as well. So it has been certainly fascinating to take a look at that, as we do have Ben Wilson, does a great job with VSiN and his play-by-play work, joining me right here on the podcast. And Ben, when it just comes to this holiday season, as we know, there's a lot fewer games, and I know that a lot of people listening, they do more than just college basketball. They take a look at the NFL, these bowl games, what have you. Got lighter slates right now. What would be your best advice to just being able to balance everything that goes into sports handicapping, whether it be college basketball or other sports, and just being able to spend some time with family? Because, I mean, it is a holiday season. We just wound up having Christmas. And I do think that it's important to not completely go away from sports, but at the same time, call mom, wish her Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and everything like that. And don't take yourself away from family as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like the society we live in now, especially with sports betting and how it is just a 365-day-a-year enterprise, I guess with the exception of Christmas Eve this year, where it was such a weird thing to have like literally nothing to bet on, at least in the U.S. market. The thing I try to focus on, especially this time of year, because like for me, Greg, and I'm sure everybody else, you know, has, whether, you know, you work like a 9-to-5 and you're trying to balance that with handicapping on the side, or you're like me where you've got, you know, games to prep for play-by-play, and you obviously, you need to prioritize the things like that that really matter. I've always tried to just, especially in these really, really hectic times, which for me, I mean, my busiest times are normally like the Thanksgiving holiday right around then, and kind of in the lead up here to Christmas, you know, I had a bunch of games the final week before heading home here for a couple of days. So my focus is always just kind of block out the whole concept of the FOMO, the fear of missing out. Don't pressure yourself. You know, you've got to be diving into the card every day to make a play. You shouldn't feel that inherent pressure just because the opportunities are out there. And that you might be, you know, thinking in your head, you might be leaving value on the table, especially for something like college basketball, whereas we were just talking about, I mean, it's what, a little over 100 days till Selection Sunday. Once you get into these conference slates, you know, you'll have Saturdays with, as you well know from your show, the cards are just crazy in just their sheer volume. So that's always my suggestion right now, is just like, don't really sweat the small stuff as far as feeling the pressure to stay on top of everything from a day-to-day basis. The reality of it is, kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the standpoint of these programs and coaches not necessarily caring too much if they have to cancel a non-con game, because it ultimately, it doesn't really matter down the stretch. The conference games matter certainly more. I don't think it's wrong to have that same sort of mentality as a bettor, where it's like, look, you know, if there's a card I'm not in love with, or I've got a bunch of other stuff going on this time of year, it's not the worst thing just to say, you know what, do I really need a handicap like a BYU-Wyoming game in a Hawaii tournament? Like, no, I don't have to. I'm content with not doing that. So that's always my biggest piece of advice. And it's hard to follow. I find myself you know, trying to fight that as well. You're one of the few people who are so machine-like, you can do that basically every day. That's always my advice, Greg. We can't all be like you. Can't be handicapping every single game of the entire season.
It is one of those things in which I am very blessed to be able to have this much time, because I recognize that there are so many people that are listening to this podcast that they do terrific work when it comes to other facets of life, being a father, working a 9-to-5 job. I get paid for watching sports. So, I mean, it's one of those things in which it is very, very fortunate. So I try to bless everyone as much as humanly possible by just keeping this thing going every single day when it comes to podcasts. Try to give up as much as humanly possible here on VSiN on Twitter, because I mean, I can tell you right now, there's a lot of things that go into it. I've got a good support system myself with my fiance helping out with things like laundry. So that way I have a little bit more time to be able to cover all things like this. So I certainly do feel very, very happy about that, as we do have Ben Wilson joining me on the podcast. And Ben, when it comes to just what you're all doing right now, let the good people at home know what you've got going on, because I know that you do a lot of play-by-play work. I'm sure that this is actually a little bit more of a relaxed time for you, but I know you're going to be hard on that grind, especially once the 1st of January winds up hitting. I know that you've got some good things going on at VSiN as well. So love to get people to know they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you're doing in general.
Appreciate it as always, Greg. This is kind of the brief calm before the storm. I feel like I just wrapped up a super hectic stretch right before the holidays, and then we hit the new year and conference play begins. It'll be busy again. I'm at Ben _ Wilson _ the number one. Have not changed the handle since high school. I refuse to change it, Greg. I'm just more of a lazy person than anything. I'm not creative. I'm just going to keep it like that. Really, from January through March, I'll be mostly doing, I got a lot of Mountain West broadcasts. Let's see, the next men's game I've got is San Jose State UNLV, which is in a couple weeks. I have a couple other of the men's games that are either on Stadium or Mountain West Network. And then I have a package of Pac-12 games that start up at the end of January. So doing those for FS1 this year, and we'll be headed to Pullman, a couple games with Wazoo, couple games in Salt Lake, seeing Utah. So I have some really good matchups I'm excited for. That'll be kind of on the horizon here. So for now, a lot of Mountain West, a lot of Pac-12, and then I'll be doing the WAC tournament once we get to March. So really those three conferences will be kind of my focus point here. I know you have me on several times throughout the year. Hopefully I'll be able to come back once we're in the heart of conference season and give some more insights to try and find some value on these teams, Greg, as we get closer to March. And the big dance, that's always the goal here. Figure out value once we get to the tournament and find some winners there in March Madness.
It certainly is, and there's going to be a lot of value, in my opinion, in January, February, and whatever games we wind up getting in December, because there are more and more getting canceled by the day. But with that said, I do think that we're going to be able to find quite a few winners on the board for the rest of 2021 into 2022. I know that Ben is going to be finding a lot of those as well. Always does a terrific job in just all sports, whether it be NFL, MLB, college basketball, list goes on and on. Ben is absolutely terrific and did a great job on the podcast today. So big thanks to Ben Wilson for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you sign total on every game on the betting board for this Monday. And you're going to laugh because there's one game on the betting board for this Monday as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and always a pleasure to get Ben Wilson on the podcast. He does absolutely terrific work over there with VSiN, mainly with the VSiN Bet Center, but you'll sometimes see him pop up on other shows. He always dominates whenever he's out there, so great to be able to get him aboard. A big thanks to him. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a sign total on every game on the Las Vegas betting board for this College Basketball Monday, aka all one game that we've got in a little something I like to call Bank Shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Typically, this is where I give the disclaimer of any changes are made on these games will be listed up on my Twitter feed at Jaren41, but we have to drop the S on games. It's only one game. With that said, I guess I do have a favorite side and a favorite total today, and we're going to be going in Las Vegas station order because it's really hard not to when you wind up having one game. So, 861, 862, you got Brown hitting the road to face off against Syracuse. Syracuse is anywhere between a 9 and 9.5 point favorite, and your total on this game, seeing mostly a 143.5, seeing out there at win as well, 144.5, and this is a game that I like under, and I wound up saying Syracuse as the favorite in this game of 12.5 points. So I'm looking at Syracuse, and I'm taking a look at the under. I wound up saying my total more around a 138.5. You take a look at the Syracuse defense, and they have been bludgeoned by the three-point shot. Over 40% of the points that they wind up giving up are from made threes, but this is a zone defense that they've been looking a little bit better recently. Coming into this game, they allowed 67 points to Villanova. They did a good job against Florida State, so they've been beginning to be able to ratchet up a little bit, and this is a Brown team that they play a little bit more slowly, and they're a very defense-oriented team as well. They've given up 70 points or fewer in, I believe, all but two games thus far this season, so they've been able to do a nice job there. They look to control the tempo in Syracuse. Not necessarily a team that guns it. Now, the three-point shot is going to be very critical for them because you do have a pair of guys in Joe Girard III along Jimmy Bam, both shooting above 42.5% from three-point range. They're both giving you between 14.4 and 15 points per game. Bam has really been one of the top rebounders for this team with 5.5 boards per game along Cole Swider. He's able to give you 12 points, 7.5 rebounds. He only shoots 29% from three, but overall, Syracuse does shoot 76% the free throw line. Now, factored into this is the fact that, well, you're probably not going to get a normal crowd for Syracuse. I did wind up docking a half a point when it comes to home court advantage for just a little bit more of a sparse crowd. And then you take a look at Brown, and this is a team that they shoot 74% of the free throw line, right around 32% from three-point range. Now, you've got Paxton Wojcik, who's been able to do a solid job at the guard spot, along with Keno Lilly Jr. These two guys combined to be able to give you 23 points per game. They're combining to shoot right around 37.5% from three-point range. After that, you don't necessarily have a lot of three-point shooting. When it comes to this team, you've been able to have someone off the bench in Kimo Ferrari, who's been able to shoot 46% from three-point range, is only able to give you right around 5 points per game. And I will say, Tamanang Cho, who wound up having a little bit of a rough start to the season, he's been able to come on for the team. Double figures in each out of the last four games that he's played in. Approximately 11 points in each of the team's last three games. He's able to give you right in the neighborhood about 8 rebounds per game. So he's able to do a solid job there. But despite being a guy with size, doesn't necessarily shoot it well from three-point range. I do think that Syracuse is going to force Brown to be able to go a little bit more inside in this game. This is a Brown team that they do like to play a little bit more methodically. And you'll notice with this Brown team, they don't shoot a ton of threes. When it comes to the percentage of their shots that wind up coming from three-point range, it is a team that they shoot right around, I would say, about 35-40%. Not necessarily high, not necessarily low. This is a team that they do like to try to get to the free throw line as well. So I do think that this is going to play into the advantage of Syracuse, which is why I did wind up making them a 12.5 point favorite. I do think that when it comes to Syracuse as well, they're going to look to try to expand upon some of their bench players. We haven't seen a lot out of guys like Frank Anselm and company, but I do think that Jesse Edwards, a guy that's able to give you 12 points, right around 6 boards per game, he's going to be key in this game. He's had at least 6 rebounds in 4 of the last 5 games, and double figures in each out of the last 5, and on top of that, 2-plus blocks in each out of the last 4. So, looking to lay it here with Syracuse, made them a 12.5 point favorite, made this little 138.5 with how slowly Brown has been playing, so taking a look at the under as well, and that'll wrap things up. For the Monday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, a big thanks to Ben Wilson for joining me in the last segment. Does terrific work over here with VSiN. He joined me there. And if you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, got one or two ways to go further in. First one is my Twitter timeline at JarenScorty1. Keep in mind the letters EM. The name does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season, which means I'll catch you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.